Well, good evening, everybody. We are at the Antlers down on East Portage Avenue. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten, and we're talking Laker hockey for the next 55 minutes or so. And the Lakers were off last weekend, so there's no series to talk about there. But a number of teams did play. All the players of the week, we always go over that every week, are from obviously other teams. Max Cota's off to a great start at Mankato, and he was the offensive player of the week this past week. Nate Callen, defenseman for Ferris State, is the defenseman of the week. And then goaltender Anton Martinson for Fairbanks was named goaltender of the week. And Hunter Wendt from Ferris State, rookie of the week. They all had various outstanding performances for their teams. And, of course, the Lakers didn't play, and Damon was out of town. And last weekend, Mike York sat in for Damon. We had Max Humitz join us tonight. Damon's back. We're going to talk Laker hockey with him for half an hour or so. And then I got a real treat for you tonight, thanks to Damon. We're going to have Steven Ruggiero join us here on the show. And those of you who do not know Steven Ruggiero will be big fans of his by the end of this hour, because Steven Ruggiero can talk. And I don't know how many of you Laker fans can remember Keith Martin when he played for the Lakers, but this is Keith Martin the second, and I think you're really going to enjoy him here tonight. If nothing else, he and I will discuss the billion-dollar lottery or whatever it is that he's so interested in today that he talked all through practice about today. But Ruggiero will join us in the second half. And Damon, you were gone out of town last week, obviously doing some recruiting work. Let's talk about what we can talk about when it comes to recruiting. I know you saw some of our players who are signed to national letters of intent, and you mostly were in British Columbia. That's all I know.
Well, I think, too, before that, we might have a new talk show after Ruggiero. He might have his own hourly talk show. He's a treat. I mean, he's got so much life, and, you know, he's very passionate about the things he follows. He's got some, you know, NFL ties and interests he loves to follow. You mentioned the lottery. So Steven brings a real energy to the locker room. The other thing too is, and Bill, you get to see him around those facilities. He's an absolute animal in the weight room. He's very good in the weight room, very driven. He's an Anaheim draft pick, and you know, really chases that dream. You know, he's got a great work ethic and lifestyle away from the rink to follow his dreams of playing in the NHL. So he's a real character, and he'll be a fun one to have on. And again, he might have his own show by the end of the night, so we'll welcome him in. But yeah, you know, the bye weeks give you as a head coach a chance to get on the road and not only look at players we're interested in, but a chance to maybe see some of our own commits there. So it was a good trip out west. It was a long trip, but a very productive trip. Got to see a lot of hockey, you know, at the junior level, midget level, and you know, really make a lot of ground and make a lot of things happen. So a chance to see Dustin Manns and Nico Esposito, two of our incoming players for next season, and just kind of check in and see how they're doing. And then certainly a lot of guys, a lot of prospects, you know, that we're interested in that Mike saw earlier and wanted me to get back out there and check out, in a lot of different positions. So again, very productive trip. Anytime you can get out, it's really valuable. I think it's been a while since I've been out there, and you know, went up into a couple cities that I hadn't been in 5 to 6 years, and it's really good to see some people. You know, one night was sitting up there talking to an advisor, and sitting next to him is the Minnesota Wild scout that I hadn't seen in 7-8 years. Back when I knew him better, he was helping with one of the teams out there. So just, it's really good to get out and you know, see some people and make sure they know that we're still out there and active and involved. So a productive trip, a good trip, and again, those two guys in particular, good games. You know, Dustin's playing at a really high level. He's a guy you just win with. You know, he went to Prince George last year, and they had the best ever season in the history of their club. He's wearing a letter this year, even though he's an American import, and doing a really good job. And they're off to a great start there. Again, he's a leader on that team. He plays all situations and had a real good weekend as I was out there. We're looking forward to Dustin's leadership, his hockey ability. And Nico and Dustin actually, you know, he had a decision. Muskegon redrafted him, and he made Muskegon, but I thought he made a good decision to go back to Prince George, where he kind of knew what his role would be. He knew he was wearing a letter and be a leader on that team. So I think it was a good move for Dustin to return to Prince George. And then Nico Esposito, another one of our signees. Nico was in Waterloo most of the start of this year, and then got moved out to Cowichan and is playing there. And again, another good game. He hasn't been there all that long. He's still getting settled in the league, but points per game, he's leading his team in scoring. He doesn't have as many points because he hasn't been there very long, but he's the leader on that team in points per game and doing a really good job getting acclimated there. He's got some quickness to him. He's got some tenacity to him. He can score goals, set goals up, you know, a little bit like Pete Viet, some similarities there between Pete and the freshman that we've seen a little bit, and you know, productive. And then again, a lot of other ground covered of prospects and guys we're trying to recruit and be involved with.
Okay, just a little bit for our fans too, who we have quite a crowd here with us tonight at the Antlers, a lot of listeners I'm sure for Laker hockey, but Nico Esposito, he is related to Phil Esposito from and Tony from the Canadian Sioux, so there's a good bloodline there for as a hockey player. And Dustin Manns, if I'm not mistaken, is from Vanderbilt, Michigan.
Yes, correct.
Which is right down the road, down just north of Gaylord.
Yeah, and Dustin's been you know, with us for a long, long time in terms of a commit and then a signee eventually, the way it works. You know, side note, one of the games I was at, there were six players that were no longer committed to their original schools. I mean, the recruiting is so crazy out there, so that was interesting. But Dustin's been committed since his U16 year. He was, like you mentioned, a Vanderbilt kid. He played his midget hockey down in Detroit for Little Caesars, was one of the, I think, your top two or three scoring forward for in that whole league. And, you know, then he's been out in BC for a little bit, played a year in Aston in the North American League, another championship team. So a winner everywhere he's gone. And actually, I probably misspoke on Nico. It's actually Nico Esposito Selivanov. So his father was a longtime NHLer. In his current team, he has Selivanov on the back of his jersey. So, you know, he goes by both names there. But you mentioned, you know, he's got some real strong Sault Ste. Marie Canada ties with his grandpa and uncle growing up over there. You know, obviously an unbelievable hockey family with that side, and then his dad being a longtime NHLer, you know, and just he's a hockey player. Like, he loves the game. He's a competitive kid. You know, he hates to lose, and you know, he's going to be a real feistiness and skill and quickness to our lineup, and so we're looking forward to that.
All righty, we've got Alabama Huntsville coming up this weekend. Let's get into that a little bit. We have no games from last weekend to talk about. Lakers off to a good start. You played Merrimack a couple of tough games out in Massachusetts, won them both, came home, beat Nipissing pretty handily, especially on Saturday night, 4-0 to start the season, but no big test yet, but there's going to be a big test this weekend down in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too, you know, you're watching around nationally, you know, when you're out recruiting every period, you're checking scores from junior hockey and across the NCAA, and, you know, you see Merrimack beat BU, and so, you know, it gives you you know, a little measure of where they're at and things like that. Obviously, Huntsville's been off to a really difficult start. I think a really hard schedule. They've had a couple of really tough road trips to Miami, then out to CC and Denver, and then finally welcomed Arizona State back home. You know, but that's six NCAA games they've played. And that's what we're trying to stress to our team is that, you know, these guys are in game shape. They've played, you know, really quality opponents, you know, from Miami, Denver, Arizona State, and they're ready to play. And so we're coming off a bye week. We're coming off only two NCAA games and two exhibition games. We have to be ready to play, you know, and as a head coach, it's tough when you leave. You know, you're so worried about what's going on back here. You lose any kind of control or things like that. But, you know, Mike and Zach did a good job running things. Zach hit the road eventually late last week. But, you know, Mike was really impressed with the team, and our strength coach, Coach Williams, both really talked about the focus of the guys last week. A lot of times, you know, when coaches leave, they can take their foot off the pedal. It can get kind of loose and sloppy. And they really were impressed with our team, that they stayed focused, practiced well, were really good in the weight room. So a real credit to our leadership group that kind of, you know, realized that we have to stay on it. And then today's practice was tremendous. I thought we were really, really good. And so we've talked a lot about trying to, you know, maintain that positive start, energy. You know, we're trying to be a little bit quick. And even talking to Diego after practice today, you know, they're ready to play. It feels long because we have the bye week. So we're trying to make things go a little bit quicker. We took Thursday off last week to try to keep them fresh. They came out Saturday and scrimmaged again amongst themselves, try to make a game type setting there. So, you know, I feel good about where we're at, but we are going to have to be ready, even though they've had struggles early on. They've got those six games under those belt, and that's concerning.
Yeah, and they're going to be at home, which is always tough, and I think the Lakers lost a couple of games in there last year, or maybe split in the two that you played down there, but they're always tough when you play them there. They're a very feisty team. They come out, they take the body, and they play as tough. They're kind of like Merrimack, only maybe a little more talented.
Yeah, no, that's a good comparison. You know, they do. They, you know, we try to tell our team that as well. You know, looking up and down again, our guys know the record. You know, it's been a tough start for them, and they haven't scored a whole lot, and that's been challenging for them as well. But you can throw it all out. We're going into WCHA play. Every game is extremely challenging. And as you mentioned, they play with a ton of pride. They're a physical team. They're an aggressive team. And, you know, we have to be ready to take that. They're going to punch us right in the mouth, and we have to handle that on the road and push back. And, you know, again, I liked our defensive structure the last couple of days. We were really good in our neutral zone, really good in our D zone. And, you know, I think that's certainly part of our game plan is we want to continue. We don't want them to be able to break out of this offensive struggles they've had. We want to be tight checking, close things down quickly, and you know, go on the attack.
Well, you look at their record thus far, they're 0-6, and they lost at Miami 5-1, 4-0. They lost at CC 1-0, but CC has beaten quite a few teams this year and beaten them pretty badly. They lost 8-0 at Denver, and then last weekend at home, 2-1 to Arizona State and 5-1 to Arizona State. That means in six NCAA games, Huntsville has scored 3 goals, and that's not going to win you very many hockey games. That's obviously their problem. But you look at that team, and I looked at their roster today. They've lost a lot up front, but they've got Kurt Goslin back on defense, and he's probably as good a defenseman as there is in the WCHA. Hans Gorowski's a very good player up front. He played up in Fairbanks when he played junior hockey. He can play. They got a kid named Jake Toit, who's playing goal for the most part, and he has struggled. John Teets, who's got Sioux connections. His dad grew up here and moved to Alaska. John is officially from Fairbanks, but he's got strong Sioux connections. And then Levi Wonder, the kid who was so good in high school hockey a few years back playing at Escanaba, he is a part of their lineup now by way of Odessa in the North American League. So, you know, they've got a roster there, and they're going to need to score goals, but they're going to come out hard like they always do. Mike Corbett's been there 6 years now, and they play tough.
Yeah, no, I didn't know the Teets connection, so that's kind of interesting. I didn't know that, but the Growski played in Fairbanks as well for Rob Proffitt, had some ties there, and, you know, was a former commit to our school during that coaching change there. But I think you hit the guys. You know, Kurt Goslin's a Brighton kid, and ties with my family, with some siblings playing high school hockey down in Brighton, and, you know, he really makes them go. You know, he's a dynamic defenseman. He's very active all over the ice. So they've got three seniors, Goslin, Teets, and another guy in the back end that's their experience, and then they get pretty young on the back end. So there's a real good mix of, you know, senior leadership back there, then some youth. And then again, I think Hans Gorowski, you know, on film, he's been their best forward. He's a good player. He can skate, you know, scored a real nice goal against Arizona State in a breakaway. So, you know, those are the guys. But you mentioned they had some big losses. You know, that was a good team. They had a big run last year and, you know, had their best year in a lot of years, and they lost some really key guys. So I think they're searching for their identity a little bit. But again, they're going to come at us, and it's league play. So, you know, we have to be ready to go.
Well, the other end of it is that Lake Superior's got to get on a bus Wednesday night and drive all night. It's a sleeper bus, and that does help a little bit, because these young guys, as long as they get a good amount of sleep overnight, they'll be fine. They'll probably respond better than the coaching staff will, or some of the people on staff. But it's a long trip. You go to Huntsville, Alabama, you're looking at 15 to 17 hours, depending on weather and the road conditions, and that's what you're looking at.
Yeah, well, hopefully this time of year it should be a little bit easier. We've had a couple of delays over the years that has stretched that out, but you know, it's not a bad way to do it. You know, we get, like you said, we'll leave tomorrow night, wake up in Nashville, and a lot of years we were able to skate at Bridgestone, but there's concerts going on where the Predators play. But unfortunately, there's no ice in right now with some concerts in town in Nashville on the road. But we'll wake up there and kind of, you know, get out, stretch the legs, and then give the guys an hour or two to kind of tour around downtown and get some food in them. And then we'll jump on the bus, finish that last hour and a half or so, and check in. And then it's kind of done. You know, once you're there, you're there. And we'll hunker in there a little bit. We get practice there Thursday night, get the bus legs out, get a good sweat. Again, you know, this team has been very focused in practice, and, you know, we really like their attention there. Merrimack, we had to do that. We had to fly out to Merrimack and get off and, you know, get through traffic and go practice. And it's nice. it's different when you get on the road because we're going to travel with the 23 guys. This year you can travel with an extra guy, so your practice really changes from your daily 28, 29, where you got a lot of extra bodies and things like that. On the road, it's really crisp, it's really fast, and so it's nice to get out there and get a good sweat. So we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll handle the trip and we'll be ready to play.
All righty, Friday night, Saturday night, 8 o'clock will be game time, Eastern time. Keep that in mind. And Matt's going to be on that trip. He'll be providing the play-by-play back on Yes FM both games, and we'll rejoin the team for that angle of things when we play Michigan, and we'll talk about that more in the second half of our show here tonight. We're going to take a break. We're live at the Antlers. It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back for the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show. It's a Tuesday evening. We're on East Portage Avenue at the Antlers. Everybody knows where that is. Bill Crawford joined now by Steven Ruggiero. Steven's in his second year with the Lakers. He transferred here from Providence College, and we'll get into a little bit about that in a minute, but I want to tell you that he is from Kings Park, New York, which is on Long Island. And the last player we had from Long Island was a young man by the name of Keith Martin, who played for us from 1982 to 1986. He was from Jericho, New York, which I'm sure you know very well where that is.
Absolutely.
And Keith Martin was one of the most prolific talkers we have ever had on this team. And I think Ruggiero may be able to match him, if not outdo him, and probably have his own show by the time we're done here tonight. But Steven, welcome to the show. Welcome to Lake Superior, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
No, I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit. I feel a little bit of a unique personality as an East Coast kid. When I first committed here, I actually didn't know what to expect myself, but it's been a pleasure being here. So, no, there's no question about it. Like I said, I like to talk. If you ever see me around the rink, I'll definitely talk your ear off. I don't know if that's always a good thing, but I try to always be friendly. And like I said, it's a pleasure to be here, so I'm appreciative and grateful.
Well, there's a lot of play-by-play goes on when you're on the ice, too. There was some good commentary going on again today. It always keeps – if I'm down on the bench watching practice, I find you to be very entertaining. So, you can keep that kind of stuff up. I think maybe some of the guys don't appreciate it as much as I do, but that's all right. Now, you played for a while for the Youngstown Phantoms, too, when you played junior, right? You came out of the USA, the development program, which was in Ann Arbor at the time,
right?
I think
my first year in the USHL at 16 was with Youngstown, and then from there I finished up with the US national program in Ann Arbor my second year before I went to Providence. But when I decided to transfer out, I went back to Youngstown.
Now, who are some of the young men you played with that USA program? There's some big names there.
No, I was lucky to play with a lot of great guys and great teammates, but couple names that headlined the team, obviously, Austin Matthews, Charlie McAvoy, Troy Terry, and honestly, the list goes on. A lot of the guys I was fortunate enough to play with are already at the national level playing professionally. So,
yeah, it's there's some tremendous players that have come through that program. Did you guys win the under-18s, the world championship that year? I think you did.
Yeah, we beat Finland in overtime.
Yeah, that's a big deal right there. I've been part of one of those before, and that's a major effort right there on the world hockey scene. Last year at Lake Superior, you didn't get to play until the second half of the season.
Yep.
You played all the way through. You played, 17 games, I think.
Yep.
Had only 1 point, I believe, but
yep.
Made an impression. And I think one of the things you did last year is win the Gabe Late Award, which goes generally to the player that the Blue Liner Club votes on as being the guy they kind of like the best. They like how he plays, et cetera. He's got a lot of life, et cetera. So that's a big deal right there for you. And this year you're paired on defense with Colin Sackleman.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk a little bit about that, how you work together, and what's the relationship there, both on and off the ice.
Yeah, well, Sacco and I got paired together a little late in the season last year. Obviously, it was a little tougher for me coming in at Christmas and coming off the injury, just because I had to kind of jump right into things and acclimate myself a little quicker than some of the guys who were able to play from day one. But Colin and I have a great relationship. He's an unbelievable teammate, and I mean, he showcases that every night, especially with the way he plays and how hard he plays. So we've been able to really establish great chemistry between the two of us, and I just think we try to, contribute on both ends of the ice and play a complete 200-foot game, and I think we complement each other really well.
Yeah, I think so too. And special teams play, where do you see action there?
For me, I'm a penalty kill only guy. Sacco's both ends, but
yeah, that's good though. I mean, it's that's a way to get it involved in these games. Have you played in Huntsville before?
I did actually when I was with the national program. We played them in a full weekend series. Yep.
But you did not play there last year for us. We played, nope. I think, second half of the season, yeah. First half of the season, yep. Down there, and you weren't playing yet. What do you know about them at this point? Do you guys pay any attention to that? Do you look at what they're doing record-wise and stats-wise? Do you try to get a picture of what you might be up against?
Record-wise, I try not to pay attention to it. I think, you know, in college hockey, all around the country, no matter the conference and regardless of where teams are in the standings and rankings and whatnot, I think every night you know you're going to get that team's best. Usually, you know, every team in the country is going to compete. As far as Alabama Huntsville goes, I know just from my experience playing them when I was younger, usually older group of guys, you know, committed to a team game plan. They came out, they were very physical, in your face. They tried to set the tone early on. I felt like almost to kind of intimidate you early in the game. So I think, you know, going into this weekend for us as a group, I don't think the record really should mean much. The focus has to be singular focused on taking things shift by shift and period by period. We're there for a reason. That's the sweep. So no, I think Huntsville is going to be very competitive. And like I said, they're usually older, more mature. So, you know, they're going to be a tough team to play against.
Yeah, they are a difficult team to go up against. There's not a lot of atmosphere in their building. It's a very big place. It probably seats 8,000 people. They'll put 2,000 in there. So it doesn't have a lot of hockey atmosphere to it. And you got to kind of create that for yourselves. And you really have to be ready to play. And I think we've got enough veterans on our team at this point, young guys who've been there many times. They'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that won't be a problem. Now, you're a sixth-round draft pick of the Anaheim Ducks in the National Hockey League. How does that affect your game at all, and how much communication do you have with the Ducks at this point in your college career?
For me, I mean, you know, with how things have gone, just like between transferring out of Providence and, you know, I injured my hips and whatnot, they've been very supportive and have communicated with me a lot throughout the process, just, you know, helping me make decisions and in my rehab and everything like that. But as far as, you know, my focus, obviously, I think every kid, if you ask them, they would tell you they want to play in the National Hockey League. That's obviously been, you know, a goal of mine and my dream since I'm a little kid. And as I've gone along my, you know, my path and career and, you know, being able to commit to Division I level of college hockey and all experience what I've been able to experience, it obviously makes it so real, you know, going to development camp and getting that experience as well. So, yeah, they've been great, and it's, you know, it's obviously definitely in the back of your mind, I think, a little bit to get to that level, but, you know, the main focus is, you know, the team first and getting wins. So
yeah, our old buddy Dave McNabb is vice president for player personnel. He's like the personnel director for the Ducks, and I'm sure he is one of the reasons why you got drafted in that sixth round, because he generally concentrates on college hockey when he's out scouting. And I see him at least once every season, but that's a good man right there. He played at Wisconsin, and he's very tuned into college hockey players.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree.
Now, how about yourself with the major, et cetera? What's your interest there, and how are you doing in school? How has Lake Superior State been? I mean, Providence College is pretty much a big-name academic institution, as well as a hockey school, and you're at Lake Superior State now trying to get it done there.
Yeah, I was always a big history English guy, and I decided when I got to college that I was going to opt to write papers a little more than go the finance math route. So I chose to be a political science major, and I my concentration is in pre-law. Looking back at it now, I don't know if I would choose that option again. It's a little bit more reading and such that, you know, I would choose to put on myself. But no, it's been good, and the transition to Lake State's been great. I mean, last year when I came in, Coach Witten, the staff, and the guys made it a really easy transition, and you know, just everyone here, as far as just everyone in the town and professors that are very helpful, and you could ask them questions whenever, and they communicate back and forth with you fast. So it's been a really easy and smooth transition for me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too, the relationship with the faculty at Lake Superior State. We've always had that over the years. It's a smaller school. They get to know you, and you can build a relationship with a professor who you might not have that at a bigger school.
Yeah, I think that's actually, you know, one of the best things about the university itself. I mean, Providence was pretty small, and Lake State's a little smaller, but, you know, they know obviously who the athletes are, your professors, and just having that open communication line, whether it's questions about homework, assignments, you know, exams, and being that we're on the road so much, especially in this conference, it's definitely really, you know, resourceful and makes it easy for us to communicate with them back and forth. So that's awesome.
Now, family-wise, you've got a supportive family. I met your dad last year. He actually came in here when you first started playing and came all the way to Sault Ste. Marie to see you play, and I've seen him a couple of times since then. So, obviously, they support you in everything you're trying to do. Talk a little bit about growing up on Long Island and how you started. How'd you get into hockey, and where'd you play until you got to Youngstown?
Well, growing up, my dad actually never played. Nobody in my family ever played. He was just a huge hockey fan. I grew up a big-time Rangers fan, and that's, you know, my dad always wished growing up himself that he could play, so that's kind of how I got into the game. But originally, I only lived 5 minutes from a rink in my town, which was home to the Long Island Royals and still is, in Kings Park, New York, as you mentioned earlier. And then I ended up, I played there for about 6 or 7 years. Before I moved on to the Long Island Gulls, and that's actually where I met a lot of the guys I played with at the national program, Charlie McAvoy and Jeremy Brocco is another name. A lot of these kids, we all grew up together close in the same areas on Long Island. So that's pretty much how it, I guess, kind of progressed. And like you said, my parents, you know, coming out here was a big decision, especially with how far it is from home. And but, you know, my parents know what I want to be at the end of the day and how far I want to take this game. And they've always supported it from day one. So I've been grateful for that.
And the Ducks have always looked for a good skating, big defenseman. And that describes you pretty much to a T. You can skate, you're big, you've got, you work hard in the weight room. Coach Witten was talking about that off mic. Let's talk a little bit about that. How important is it to be big and strong if you want to play in the National Hockey League or at any level? College hockey, you got to be big and strong.
Yeah, no, it's very important. I think another thing, and to show some love to, I guess, my dad, and one of the biggest things he always said to me growing up was, listen, if you're going to be, you know, one of the bigger kids on the ice at 6'3", 6'4", and, you know, now 200-plus pounds, you know, it kind of is no use to be big if you're not going to play big. So I think, you know, just the focus and everything that you have to put in into the off ice and your overall regimen in the weight room and how you handle, you know, treating your body and taking care of yourself to prepare to play is obviously really crucial. So, you know, like we said earlier, every night in college hockey is a battle, and you know, the ages vary. You know, one night you could be playing a 17, 18 year old, the next night you could be playing someone who's 24. So if you're not going to be prepared to battle, it's likely that you won't win the battle.
Yeah, it'll be interesting this year too. We do play the under-18s down in Plymouth in December, right before Christmas. In fact, I think that's the last game. It's a single game. We get down there and play. That'll be fun for you to do that because you can identify with what they're doing at this point. And it's the second generation of Ralston and Waite there. They have Danny Waite and Ryder Ralston playing for that team, and we're going to play against them in December.
Yeah, and I just know, like, when I was there, every time you get a chance to play one of the, you know, bigger name colleges or really anybody, they take it personal. You know, the younger guys want to prove themselves. They want to, you know, upset, you know, colleges and universities and kind of send the message that they, you know, are the real deal. And I mean, I know you're probably a little familiar with it, but the under 18 championship at the end of the year is a big deal for that team. And a lot of these kids are on tryouts every day. They're always constantly getting evaluated. And so every game for them is important. A lot of it, you know, it's their draft year for a lot of them as well. So they usually show up and give them their best effort.
Yeah, it's a big deal for them, and yet they're in that time in their lives. They're not mature enough to understand some things. And I know the coaches who work with them all the time talk about what it's like. It's like pulling teeth sometimes, trying to get them to show up for game time, et cetera. But I think you're right. They all have goals, and they're driven individuals. They're the cream of the crop from the United States playing at that level. Well, it's interesting here. We've got, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the things you were talking about today, namely this lottery that's going on tonight. I don't follow that kind of thing. I don't buy lottery tickets, et cetera, but I know that you're looking for maybe a few billion dollars to the plus side tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Listen, come 11 o'clock tonight, I'm confident. I'm a changed man. I think I'm hitting lotto, and we're putting a couple million into the Laker hockey program. The guys and I have already discussed it. We're very excited. I'm very confident.
That would be good. I'm actually pulling for you. I hope you do win the lottery now.
I appreciate it. We're gonna change the whole city. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah. Well, the mayor's right over here. I'm sure he'd be glad to take a donation as well.
Don't worry. I'm gonna write it off. Don't worry about it.
Well, I'll tell you, we can. Maybe we'll start our own show, and then you can just kind of take it over after it. In fact, you can start doing
your successor a little bit.
Yeah. We've talked about that in the past too. You know, we started this season with a flight trip out to UMass or out to Massachusetts to play against Merrimack. And we've got trips to Joe Lewis. It's Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. There's some exciting stuff here this season. We're going to play the under-18s right before Christmas. There's a lot of stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. I know for the team headed out, you know, we were kind of excited actually to jump right into play and head out to play Merrimack. I mean, that was a huge weekend for us. And anytime you play out of conference, especially, you know, a Hockey East team, you know, it's important for the pairwise and the the national tournament. Obviously, that's a little down the road here in the season, but you know, we were excited. We wanted to jump into, you know, right into action and kind of prove all the work and everything we had put in the summer and the preseason. We were excited for it. So, you know, that was a great opportunity for us, and we were obviously fortunate there to be successful and sweep. And yeah, it's an exciting year for sure.
Now, off the ice, I know the Lakers have done things a lot differently in recent years than we used to do it when I was athletic director there. We always had everybody live on campus. Now you guys are all off campus.
Yeah. Yep.
Who do you room with, and where are you guys, and how is that working out? Is it working okay for you?
Yeah, no, it's good. My roommates this year is Hampus Eriksson, Big Swede, and Willie Rydell. I mean, we were with each other all last year, originally on campus in the towers, in the dorms. So we definitely bonded, to say the least. We know a lot about each other. There's no question about it. We can push each other's buttons for sure. So we have a great time. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's bad. There's no question when the weather picks up, it starts to get a little colder and the snow comes in. The commute from West Pier might be a little bit tougher just having to warm up the car a little earlier than just walking out of the dorm, but yeah, it's a good setup though.
Yeah, it's still good though. And the maturity's been pretty good. That's one thing I'm kind of impressed with this year. I think, Damon kind of hit on it here in the first part of the show tonight. You guys seem a little more focused on what it is we're doing here. We're not as focused on stuff away from the rink as we are. We want to play hockey, and I think we're ready to go to Huntsville right now.
No, absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing I noticed too, and you kind of touched on it with like the program kids, but a lot of our freshmen, I mean, some of them are younger guys, but they all came in and they're just, it's really impressive, I think, how focused they are.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't really have to raise the bar, so to speak. I feel like everybody kind of had this expectation of what we wanted from ourselves individually, but from the team. And no, I think we're ready for Huntsville and beyond that. I think the guys are really dialed in this year, and just overall, we set the bar. The bar is set much higher this year, and I think guys are really bought into it, and that's great to see.
Well, I appreciate you being here tonight, Steven Ruggiero, joining us here on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll do this again this season, and we're going to rejuvenate, bring back our Get to Know Your Lakers feature, too, during our broadcast, and we'll have him on there as well. Steve, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Steven Ruggiero joining us here tonight on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll be back. Damon Witten will move back in. We'll talk more Laker hockey on ESPN 1400. Well, welcome back to the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten moving back in now. Steven Ruggiero did a great job. We've got some pretty good players and some pretty good personalities on this team this season. They're an impressive crew. And I agree with you, too, what you said earlier. I thought today's practice was really good. It was pretty sharp. There was a lot of hustle going on, a lot of competition. And I thought it was really good to see Hampus Eriksson back on the ice, too.
Yeah, no, Hampus is, I think we talked early on, Bill, that, the first couple of weeks, he might have been our best player early on. He came back in better shape and, you know, obviously adjusted to the NCAA game after his freshman year. And he was really, really good early on. And he was good today. So, I think today and yesterday might have been the first time all year we've had our full team, healthy to practice and, a little bit limited in a couple spaces there. But we're close to full strength, which is always, a nice problem to have. And, Hampus is a big addition back in the lineup, So we've been out, one of our top centers has been out with Hampus out. So that's big. You know, we've been good on faceoffs as it was early on. And there's another guy that's a really strong faceoff guy. He's a power play guy. He's obviously a big presence at 6'4", 6'5". And, we'd be happy to get him back in the lineup and, kind of muddy the waters on some things because we've had some guys play real well so far.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Hampus Eriksson makes the trip this week down to Huntsville. You are going to be leaving on Wednesday night and practicing down there on Thursday, playing on Friday and Saturday. There is video coverage of these games. I know that Huntsville does have video. They don't normally have play-by-play with it. It's a fairly quiet video. You might have a person who doesn't know much about hockey make a comment here and there, but it's still something you can see, and we will carry both games live as we always do on Yes FM. We have a couple of questions from the fans who are here tonight. Usually we get 8-9 questions. We've only got a couple here tonight. First one is, do the upperclassmen understand how important it is to come out with a good start on Friday night? I think that's kind of referring to maybe some past performances at Huntsville where we didn't appear to be ready to go. But I think these guys, that leadership cadre is pretty aware of what's going on.
Yeah, well, we've been pretty successful down there, too. I think we've played well down there, you know. And, yeah, no, they know. I mean, it's important. You know, you heard Steven talk about it a little bit more. You know, they know a little bit about, you know, that team and what's going on. But, you know, you've got to look beyond some of the stats and realize the league play. So, you know, we've talked a lot about our leadership group. And again, these guys, our seniors, our leaders, you know, both those groups, they've played a lot of hockey and they've been, you know, really impactful players since day one on this campus. And, you know, I've been really impressed and we've been really impressed with them early on here. So I think they'll have them ready to go. As you mentioned, you know, the last 2 days of practice have been really good. We'll have another good practice tomorrow before departing. So, no, I think there's no doubt we'll be ready to play. We're hungry, you know, to get back to games. It's hard having a bye week that early. You're watching all your buddies play and league rivals and, you know, just you know what's going on. You're aware of that. So it's hard to be sitting there and not playing. So there's a lot of excitement to get on the road here again and then open up WCHA play.
And the other question we have from the fans who are with us here tonight, are all three coaches going to make this trip and be available to be on the bench both games?
Interesting question, whoever came up with that.
You asked.
What's typical when we go on the road, usually most often only two coaches go and then allows one of the other assistants that doesn't travel to get out and recruit and cover some ground, wherever that may be. But we are going to have all three coaches go with us. You know, again, with the bye week just coming off the bye week, Zach and I were able to get out and kind of see, you know, a fair amount, cover some good area and, you know, see some guys we want to follow up from the showcases. And, you know, we just thought it'd be pretty valuable to have us all down there as we get into WCHA play. So we'll all make that trip and be all hands on deck.
All right, that leads us to another obvious question. You can take 23 on this trip. How do you decide? When do you decide who's going to go? I mean, at this point, it seems to me it would be very difficult to leave one of the three goaltenders home. They're all doing really well. They had a good couple of periods against Nipissing a couple of weeks ago, and yet somebody's going to have to stay back there. And then how do you decide amongst the other guys who goes and who doesn't?
Yeah, well, it's a daily evaluation. You know, we spend every day and every morning, you know, really twice a day. So every morning as we sit down and design practice plans, we talk about lineup, you know, and then you mentioned, you know, you asked Steven about playing with Colin. Well, don't forget Steven's out Friday night. So, you know, there's some tweaks to our back end, you know, and some adjustments there. But we have a conversation every day about lineup, you know, who's playing well, who practiced well. And then after practice, same thing. You know, we'll spend a few minutes talking about who we liked on that day, who we thought maybe didn't have as good of a day as they needed to. So it's a daily evaluation. You know, obviously some guys, you know, that have that experience that have been around, they can be pretty confident they're making that trip, you know, but then a lot of guys don't know. So we'll practice tomorrow and continue to evaluate both tomorrow morning and post practice. And then we'll put a travel lineup shortly after practice. You know, we'll take 5-10 minutes just to kind of make those final decisions, and then we'll post on the board who's going to make that trip. And so I guess if you're really confident, you might pack up and bring your stuff to the rink, but most guys will probably go get dinner, go to class, and then, you know, pack up and get ready for that trip. So, you know, again, some things, you've seen some lines, you know. You know the Diego's line has not been tweaked at all yet, so it's probably a pretty sure thing those guys will go together. You know, some of the D pairings, you know, the captains, things like that. You mentioned the goalie decision, and I think that is tough. You know, we talked to all three of those guys today. They're aware of, you know, what this weekend will look like for each of those guys, and you know, they all are deserving of going. I thought Roman was really valuable to get in those games and those periods, and I think we talked a little bit, Bill, like we didn't care the situation, what was going on. We could have been down a goal, tie game. We were playing Roman no matter what, and you know, we're glad we did it. I thought it was really valuable. He played well, and you know, now he's really in the conversation to you know, to get him that next opportunity. But Nick and Merrick's have a lot to say about that as well. You know, they're not letting go of that as well. So it's good to have three capable goaltenders. You know, some teams don't like to do that. They kind of like to have a third guy that maybe is more of a practice player. But I'd much rather have three good goaltenders than zero or only two or whatever the case may be. So we've got three quality guys, and you know, we'll deal with that week by week.
Yeah, when did they make that a DQ on that Saturday night game where Ruggiero was involved in the wrestling match with the Nipissing player? Did they DQ'd those? They didn't say that. They didn't have that on the official sheet that I saw.
I think the announcement was a misconduct, as you mentioned. They called it that way. So, you know, I don't know. I think their explanation was it was recorded wrong from our off-ice official side. That's what I heard. I think the ref actually called me later that night to let me know, and then I talked to the director of officials Sunday morning. We text a little bit late Saturday night, then talk Sunday morning. So, you know, not a great call in an exhibition game. And
no.
I thought Steven showed good restraint to
he
not
did.
Throw a punch or do anything like that. So really disappointing. But, you know, we've got guys who are ready to play, and it'll lead an opportunity for somebody else.
Yeah, it'll be a good opportunity maybe for Alex Amandel or one of the young guys to get in there. You know, I've been impressed by that kid too. He's I thought he's a gamer type player. Reminds me of Dan Kesmer, who played for the Lakers 10, 15, 20 years ago, whenever it was. Kesmer was like that. He was a great skater. He wasn't a real big, strong kid initially, and that's how Alec looks to me. But he's really – the puck comes to him. He's one of those guys who's – the puck's always around him, and he makes some good plays. I thought he played really well against Nipissing.
Yeah, well, Bill, I don't know if you noticed that everybody's chuckling at you because you really date yourself how long you've been around when you can't remember if it's 10, 15, or 20 years ago.
I can't remember breakfast.
So we'll check on that and Dan. But, no, you know, Alec has done a good job. And as you mentioned, you know, him and Bennett Vita will be battling to grab that spot that Steven will have to step out on Friday night. And but, you know, he's got size to him. He's 6'2", or so. Moves really well, especially for his size, and you know, he's got a good tool set. He's got good puck skills. I think the one area where we're asking him to play a little bit heavier at times, and not that we need him to go run guys over, but there just has to be, you know, a certain you know, grit, sandpaper, whatever you want to call it, to his game, and he's coming along there as well. So he's been good.
Yeah, what we were talking about with Steven Ruggiero earlier, he'd be a great guy to partner up with, teach Samandel how important that weight room is, because that, if he gets bigger, he's going to be a really, really good player. I like how he moves around out there. How about an injury update at this point? We've talked a little bit about Hampus. Lower body injuries kept him out till now, but he's back in practice. Looks like he may be able to make the trip to Huntsville, and that's a valuable commodity. Anybody else that's nicked up at this point, or are we okay?
Yeah, a couple minor things, nothing major. Again, we might have you know, him and one other guy that will have some health implications, and if they can travel or not travel. But like I said, we've not had the whole team on the ice very often this year, and this is one of the few couple days. Mike didn't have it while he was in Zach as they were running practices, but today and yesterday were the first couple times that we were able to have a full go of it. So it's nice to have that option.
All righty. We're going to take our final break during the show tonight. We'll have one right at the end as well, but we're almost out of time. Another Laker hockey show flying by. We'll be back to the Antlers after this on ESPN 1400. All right, we are back for the final segment of our Laker hockey show tonight. Another Monday or Tuesday evening kind of flying by here. We did have a promo we were talking about. Evidently, B-Dubs here, Buffalo Wild Wings, is going to have they're going to show the game on November the 16th when we play at Bowling Green. They're going to have it on the big screens up there. So all the fans who are here, you can't go down to Bowling Green. You can go on up to B-Dubs. You can see it on a big screen up there. They'll give you the presentation from Bowling Green. You can see the games this weekend from Huntsville, though. They will have video. You can go on their website, and I'm sure you can pick it up.
Yeah, and the league, we have a new streaming partnership with Flow Hockey. So any of you who streamed in the past, we've switched providers, but Flow Hockey, whether you get the LSSU pass or the WCHA pass, those are streamed. And I do believe that they'll be shown on campus as well in the Peacock Cove. I'm kind of waiting for confirmation. But in past years, you know, we've had the on-campus group, the Laker Legion kind of hosts that. And I think that will return. If that's going to happen this weekend, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, B-Dubs, next, the Bowling Green series, and I think Peacock Cove this weekend.
All right, we're almost out of time here. We got a couple more things to talk about. Damon, are you surprised at all right now with we've only played four games. Most teams have played six at this point. Are you surprised by anything at this point with what's going on either in the WCHA or nationally? I was kind of really surprised, pleasantly surprised, when Scott Borick's team from Merrimack beat BU 4-0. I thought that was really good for us, and it's really good for him to get that.
No, yeah, obviously. I mean, I think you certainly root for guys to get that first run of the way. You know, I think that both Alaska's got to win is now two younger coaches taking over. You know, actually, when you mentioned the BU, but I think BU, BC are 0-6, and that hasn't happened since like 1933 or something like that. So, you know, two big-time schools that are, you know, off to a start that they're not used to. So that's a little bit surprising. You know, Notre Dame's been really good, and I don't think anybody's shocked by that. Not a surprise, but obviously, you know, coming off a good year. You know, Michigan, we didn't get a chance to talk about them coming in for Great Lakes State weekend, but, you know, probably not the start Mel wanted down there. It looks like they've had a little bit of a hard time keeping pucks out of their net. So we'll see, you know, how they get that steadied and solidified down there. Obviously, it's a high-powered offense and a great team. So you watch that. Bowling Green has Western tonight. Bowling Green's off to a tremendous start. Yeah. They're loading up. They've always been a real defensive team that didn't give much up, didn't score a lot. All of a sudden, they're scoring. I think they're leading the country in goals per game, and they've just been on fire offensively. So that's going to be really interesting to see how they continue to develop. And we've got them, you know, around the corner. So keep your eyes on Bowling Green.
Yeah, Bowling Green's tough. They've already beaten Western Michigan at Western, and now they're playing them tonight at Bowling Green. So keep an eye on that one. Western's coming off a split with Michigan. Other action this weekend, you got Michigan Tech playing outside the conference at Wisconsin. Alaska Anchorage is at Ferris. Bemidji State's off to a good start playing at Northern Michigan. I think Northern's been a surprise in the other direction here. We all thought they were going to start like a house of fire this year with all the guys they have back, and they've kind of struggled.
Well, they lost, you know, a great goaltending, so, you know, they've got to, you know, kind of adjust to that, I guess. But they've also had a tough schedule, you know, out to St. Cloud. That's a great team on a big sheet, like Northern, I guess. But they play with a ton of pace, ton of skill. So, yeah, I think they'll be fine. They return a lot, and I think they'll get going in no time.
All right, Alaska is also playing at Minnesota State in Mankato this weekend, and of course the Lakers down at Huntsville. And don't forget, coming up on ESPN 1400 when we get off here tonight, it will be Pistons basketball. They'll be playing the 76ers on 1400 right after we get done here. We're about done. Damon, any last words as you get ready to go to Huntsville? I guess you're going to leave late Wednesday night and get in there on Thursday morning.
No, just excitement's back. Like you said, you know, it's hard this early to have the bye week, especially when you're 4-0 and guys are real positive, real excited. So, again, I thought we've done a real good job, and credit our leadership group and Mike and Zach doing a good job through that bye week to keep things fresh, you know, to execute at a high level. And, you know, you heard Steven, you know, our guys understand it. We have a real maturity. I talked to a couple people, I think leaving Merrimack or maybe even after Friday night, just this team has a little different feel to it. There is that maturity you mentioned. There's confidence, again, that leadership group. So I think it's going to be a really enjoyable team to watch, and we're just excited to hit the road and open up WCHA play.
All righty. It'll be at Huntsville on Friday and Saturday nights. Matt Pocket will be there for our broadcast on YesFM, and it'll be, don't forget, a little bit later start. It'll be 7:35 with a pregame and 8 o'clock game time both nights from down in Huntsville, Alabama. For Matt, who's here doing production work tonight, Melissa back at the station, Damon Witten and Stephen Ruggiero, Bill Crawford saying so long, another Laker hockey show on ESPN 1400.